This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Contact.com.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock, so just give us a call. And we're going to start out today talking with Steve Morgan, talk a little bit of health and physical fitness, and there are some issues going on in health and physical fitness I know Steve wants to touch on. So let's go in and bring in our good friend Steve Morgan. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing real good. How you doing today? This weather is uncharacteristic and so fortunate.
Yes, and we just have to enjoy it for as long as it's here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know you want to talk about something about caffeine. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but what's going on with the caffeine? I really wasn't keeping up on the issue very much.
No, and Earl, it's not your fault. A lot of adults don't keep up on caffeine because we just don't see it as being that harmful. I wrote a position paper on it in 1988, and I listed in there several reasons, and I pulled the paper, and all of those things are now coming to fruition. I pointed in 1988 that if caffeine is ever abused, once again, by any manufacturer that produces a beverage, that beverage would in turn end up, getting to the wrong hands. And that's exactly what's happening. 24 years later, that very thing is happening, and no one's doing anything about it. This girl died. That's so unnecessary. It's so unnecessary. And what I'm going to do today, you can hear how spirited I am because it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous how adults are not being aware. They're just not in the know. As parents, we're just not in the know. And I'm going to try to bring you up to speed today. For example, I went in to Speedway this morning to do a little hands-on research. And I looked at all of the energy drinks and the three sizes that they were coming in, 8 ounces, 12 ounces, and 20 ounces. Now, here's the thing. This is a marketing ploy. Did you know that there's less caffeine, milligrams of caffeine, precisely there's 77 milligrams of caffeine contained in a 20-ounce Red Bull, Monster, and there was another one I looked at, ginseng, not ginseng wasn't the name, but it was a Coca-Cola product. Okay? And I really don't care about naming names because I'm not being sponsored by anybody, so I'm going to tell it like it is. So, don't nobody cut me a check to say things. Okay? I'm independent, everybody, so I'm going to tell it like it is. You got 77 milligrams per 20 ounces, okay, in those drinks. When you go down to an 8-ounce drink, it's 80 milligrams per 8 ounces. So you think that by buying more, you're getting more caffeine, but you're not. By buying a smaller unit, you're getting more caffeine. It's a more heavily concentrated dose, and that confuses the uneducated consumer, okay? And it causes these types of responses on the nervous system, which then affects the parasympathetic nervous system, and it causes heart irregularities, palpitations, mitral valve prolapse, with extended use, tachycardia, depending on the individual. All these things are bad, okay? And it's magnified in smaller individuals. And many adults think that kids are just small adults. You've heard of that, Earl.
Yes.
They all are just small adults. They can do what we do. No, there's physiological reasons why children cannot get rid of the caffeine and why saturation levels are easier to obtain in kids than adults. And it just dumbfounds me that 24 years later, we're even talking about this, let alone people dying from it. And then the parents, God bless them, and I know that they're grief-stricken, but this is typical of a litigious society. Now we want to sue Monster. Well, Monster didn't do anything wrong. The FDA allowed them to put that amount of stuff in it. So go to the government and say, why are you letting them do this? You don't have to sue Monster. Sue the government.
Well, you know that won't happen.
Nope. And neither will it being taken off the shelves either. If you recall, Ephedrine, you remember that name, Ephedrine?
Yep.
Yeah, with the diet tablets and all of that stuff, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the FDA took that off too. And then all of a sudden, now it's not on the banned list. Now it's back out in the open. You can buy it. Mm-hmm. It's a shame.
It is, but
you know?
Yep.
But the only way we can handle it is to get this information out to our parents and the coaches, you know, that are around these kids, and just stop doing it. You know, I mean, caffeine is linked to birth defects. 24 years ago, caffeine is linked to heart palpitations. So, in other words, if you have a pre-existing condition, any type of nervous system disorder or anything like that, caffeine is only expediting that. It's not helping you. Just because you say, "Oh, I need a cup of coffee, I got the jitters." Well, there's a reason why you have the jitters. You're now addicted. Okay, you now have a chemical dependency. And that's why you need it so much. And we've just ignored it, all of it. I went in and did a little bit more research, Earl, for the listeners, so that they didn't have to. I checked with the World Anti-Doping Agency, okay, the governing body for the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, on testing. Caffeine, as of 2011, is not a banned substance. It used to be, because it had ergogenic effects. Caffeine, in controlled laboratory studies, has been shown to help with the mobilization of free fatty acids, which in turn will benefit what type of athlete? Endurance athletes. Those are the ones that are going to need to burn fat during the course of a marathon and so on. They could benefit immensely from breaking down the energy that comes from fat, stored fat, which is 3,500 kcals per 1 pound of fat. And caffeine helps them tap into it more, so much so that it was banned. But now it's not anymore.
Well, Steve, we know for years that caffeine has been addictive, and it still is addictive. But what has changed that people's attitude, they don't adhere to it? I mean, I'm not a caffeine drinker, but I know it's been addictive for such a long time. I just stayed away from it. But I know other people who are deadly hooked on caffeine.
Absolutely, Earl. And I like the way you put it, deadly hooked. A lot of times on your show, Earl, when I'm talking, people, I get off and they'll stop me downtown or someplace and they'll say, "Oh my God, Steve, you're always trying to scare us," you know? No, I just tell you like it is. I have for 15, 16 years now. There's no need to sugarcoat it, no pun intended. You know, because sugar is actually the number one catalyst that is mixed with caffeinated beverages. It's the number one thing. When you read on the back of a caffeinated, I issue a challenge to all of the adults that are listening. This is serious business. This girl died. She's 14 years old and she's dead. She's dead. And it's ridiculous that she had to die because of an overdose or oversaturation of caffeine that caused her to have a heart palpitation or heart abnormality and she died from a myocardial infarction. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know, and it's like when kids have problems in the summer when we keep warning coaches about getting them water and stuff. And every year, we always have a bout. Yeah. And it's just ridiculous that we have to keep going through this. Stop letting these people coach who are not qualified to be with your kids. Say something. Dang it. Mm-hmm. Say something. Ask people, what are your qualifications? I've been saying that for years. You know, other than I work here and I just do this on the side. Well, that's fine. But what are you doing in terms of getting your education so that you can help educate my kids to the pitfalls of all these things that are related to sports? And if not, then don't do it on a part-time basis. Do it, you know, do it on a volunteer basis. But you can't be paid to be around these kids and you don't offer them anything that they can't get from the homestead.
Well, we had a question called in. So what do we need to do as a society? Need to do to help aid the problem about the issue.
Well, you know, it's all going to be opinionated, and before I get into my opinions, I want to give them just a little bit more facts. Back in 2011, 12 micrograms per millimole of blood was illegal on the international level. Okay? Micrograms. Okay? 12 micrograms. Okay? Contained in an 8-ounce container of Red Bull is 80 micrograms. Can you get a grip now? Is everyone getting a grip? 80 micrograms in one serving, and 12 was considered illegal. How is this possible? How can this be a legal drink when the International Olympic Committee and the World Anti-Doping Agency considered 12 micrograms dangerous to athletes, trained individuals? And now we somehow think that it's okay for 80 micrograms to go and decondition cardiac patients and people who just normal people. And then we wonder why 4 or 5 people have died from it. You're not controlling it. Okay, the other thing is there's a 4-hour duration that caffeine will stay in your blood. 4 hours. Okay? So I don't care what the 5-hour energy drink says. It's a lie. It's a marketing ploy. Okay? It's the B vitamins, B6 and B12 that are found in the caffeinated beverages that sustain your energy rates longer. So therefore, if they can do that naturally just by taking B6 and B12, why are you taking the caffeine? Because you don't know any better. My athletes take most of my athletes have a mega vitamin which contain B6 and B12. Unlike Roger Clemens, we don't do any injections. Okay, Roger, I didn't misremember that either, by the way. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, we got another caller called in, said he appreciates you telling it like it is. This is how it should be. Far too often, money outweighs the health of society.
Yes, he is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, and that's not even my opinion. That's one of those, urban facts. Okay, now, 250 to 300 milligrams of caffeine or micrograms are necessary for you to get the diuretic effect. Okay? Now, the diuretic effect, for some of you listening, you understand what that means. That means you're going to go urinate more. It means that water, concentrations of water are going to be pulled out of your bloodstream and put into your bladder and dispersed out as urine, which means that you're going to get closer and closer to dehydration. Now, is that really something we want in terms of athletics? No. We tell our kids to stay away from this stuff during the summer because once you dehydrate that way, then putting water back here is just rushing back out. So we have an imbalance. And then next thing you know, we have an imbalance, and then next thing you know, we have cardiac issues. It doesn't take long for it to escalate. And that's why she had a very difficult time. As the exercise intensifies when you're using caffeine, okay, the absorption rate is increased. Okay, so the harder you go, you take caffeine, you have a cup of coffee for many of you who run and other things, you have your caffeine first. I wonder why that is, because it gets me going. That's right, it gets you going. Okay, so that means that it's moving through your body quicker and the damage is occurring quicker. It doesn't mean that it gets you going in a positive sense. Okay? What else was there? I had notes here. Sorry, Earl.
Okay, well, we got to take a break, and then we'll come right back to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
In the final debate, the president comes at Romney with horses and bayonets. The Republican candidate pulls even in some polls. The president makes the rounds on late-night TV. I'm Neil Conan. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, joins us as we focus on the races that will decide control of the House and Senate. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
The Nation, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Today's high 75, and it'll become partly sunny. Partly cloudy, with a low in the upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Friday, mostly cloudy with a good chance of rain and much cooler, a high of 52.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're talking with Steve Morgan, and let's go back to Steve for a few more minutes and talk with him. Steve, you're back again.
Okay. real quick. Cola beverage with four combinations, okay? So you have a decaffeinated drink, which is 6% cholesterol, okay? That's fine. I mean, 6% carbohydrate, that's fine. 6% of the total drink. When you start getting into caffeinated, when you start talking about 11% carbohydrate contained in a caffeinated beverage, you're talking about a higher delivery, a higher percentage of delivery rate system. So they lace it with sugar, and they also lace it with herbal. And this is another thing that people get confused on. Plants contain caffeine. So herbal forms of caffeine are enhanced by sugar being ingested. Now, one other thing. Many other known and unknown ingredients make it difficult for us to figure out how much caffeine is contained in anything. So when you see proprietary blend, quote unquote proprietary blend, that means that they do not have to disclose what that is inside of the supplement. Okay? So if you're buying a weight loss product and it has a proprietary blend and it doesn't describe what's in it, what's causing the weight loss, and what is the catalyst, please do not buy it, because I guarantee you that the catalyst will be a sugar agent, which is delivering caffeine to speed up your metabolism to burn more fat. Okay? But at the same time, you're exposing yourself to a greater risk. And as adults, we're able to tolerate it, once again, the same way we're able to tolerate large doses of alcohol and nicotine. We develop a tolerance. That's the only reason why we develop a chemical dependency and a tolerance level that allows us to go ahead and do it. Just because you're able to take it and function doesn't mean that there's not a cumulative effect in the body that will be toxic at some point.
Okay.
Very important to remember that.
Okay, we got a caller on the line for you. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
I've been able to catch Steve for several months now, and I got to ask something that I know absolutely nothing about. I hope you guys didn't cover it before. Steve, I'd like to know what you know about these concussions. I'm speaking primarily about the Lions running back, Jahvik Best. I don't understand what those symptoms mean and what the concussions are all about, and I'll hang up and listen to you on the air.
Okay, thank you.
Earl, can you tell me that again? I could not hear a word he said,
okay.
By the way.
Yeah, he wants to know about the concussion syndrome and what some of the things you look for in a concussion syndrome, and especially he's talking about Jahvik Best and the problems he's been having.
There's no way to prevent it, what's coming up in terms of concussions. They can build any kind of helmet that they want. They're only doing that once again, just like when we go to war. War companies make money when we go to war. Helmet companies make money as concussions go ahead and continue to come up. It doesn't mean that they're not making better helmets, but you're never going to build a helmet, and you're joking yourself that you're going to build a helmet that's going to stop the internal part of your brain from moving around inside your skull. It ain't going to happen. Okay? It's a joke. How are you going to stop my brain from moving around unless you stop the impact from the outside? This is the same thing. It's the same concept we have about using a brace for bracing a knee. Okay? Simple civil engineering will tell you, you do not brace from the outside for an unstable infrastructure. You brace it from the inside if you can. And so you cannot do that with helmets. And so there is no answer. The only answer potentially could be start calling more penalties and things like this for spearing. NFL guys are still using their helmets, and there's a penalty call every other time or once every four times because they want to keep the game exciting. They have to keep the game to where it's a viewable game. You want it to be like billiards? You want it to be like pool? Okay? Where there's no it's never going to get like that. So we have to have these things. They're going to happen. It's that I'm not saying that there's a conspiracy to keep it going. I'm not ignorant. I'm not naive. But what's happening is they're trying to fix something that you cannot fix without changing the rules and the format of the game.
Okay.
It's going to continue to happen is what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. It's never going to go away as long as we're wearing helmets and guys are leading with their head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. We'll see that. Hey, Steve, I know there was one more issue you wanted to talk about, cheerleading and all the injuries that we've seen in cheerleading, even though in the state of Michigan, it is an official state-run sport, but I know in other areas it's not recognized as a sport.
Correct. And, you know, I think cheerleading, first of all, has enough athletes. If you're going to discount cheerleading as a sport, then what do we call golf? Okay, why is golf a sport and cheerleading is not? What is the definition of a sport? Is what I asked our society to come up with. The difference between a sport and a game, kind of like the difference between a fruit and a vegetable. It's the same argument conceptually. Yes, it's the same argument. Okay, okay, we call pool a sport. Billiards a sport, but cheerleading is not? That's crazy. Hunting is a sport, but cheerleading's not? The gun's doing all the work in hunting. How is that a sport? You know, I mean, we're confused as a society. I don't understand. You know, cheerleading, of course, is a sport. Okay? I mean, there's a winner, there's a loser, there's competitions, there's training. That's beyond all most other forms of training. The cheerleaders train harder than baseball athletes. I train them both. I know. Okay? So just because they dress different and they look nice, volleyball athletes dress differently and look nice. That's a sport. They train. Any athlete that's trained in anything they participate in, it should be considered a sport. Fencing is played on a horizontal level. There's no jumping. There's no throwing. Okay? There's no lifting, but fencing's a sport. So come on now. 37,000 injuries last year for cheerleaders. Okay? 37,000 injuries, documented cases, and God knows how many undocumented cases. You don't need to regulate or sanction the sport, okay, or sanction cheerleading to make it a sport to fix what's going on with it. Okay? That can be fixed without sanctioning the sport. The associations that govern cheerleading can fix what's happening with cheerleading without trying to get sport to be taglined on cheerleading. So even though I believe cheerleading is a sport, I don't think it's necessary to tagline it in order to fix it.
Okay. I know there's one other sport out there. It's considered a sport, even though I'm still wondering why this is a sport, but the World Series of Poker.
Do we really need to go there? I mean, seriously, do we really need to go there? I can't believe it's even on ESPN. It's gambling. First of all, it's gambling. Yeah. I thought gambling was illegal in this country. Then why is it on TV? I mean, the hypocrisy just never ceases to amaze me. Okay? But if you go down to the corner barbershop and shoot a little dice, you know, granted, I don't know nothing about that. But if you go down there and shoot a little dice, now you're gambling and you can go to jail. But if you participate online on something that's happening in Vegas, that doesn't count. Are you serious? Are you really serious right now? I mean, this is it's terrible.
It is, that's for sure. Hey, Steve, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you. You know, we'll have to get you on again real soon because for the fall coming up, and we talked a little bit about last week, everybody has to change how they work out and change their workout routines. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week, but some good information that you gave us today, and certainly needed because, you know, we really want to help people out, and hopefully we can help a few more people hopefully put caffeine in their body. So hopefully that'll help.
Mm-hmm. Parents that are listening, last little tidbit, just stop buying the product. They'll change the product once you stop buying it. You keep buying it, they'll keep making it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Okay.
Train
hard and smart, Earl.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, Steve.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking health and physical fitness today right here on AM 870 WKAR. The time is 1:30. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way each and every day from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, Aaron, we've got a few cuts today, and let's... you know, I had a chance to talk a little bit earlier in the week with Mark D'Antonio, and we talked about the Wisconsin. Well, let's bring first the one that's called Wisconsin. It's just talking about the Wisconsin team and what they're going to face on Saturday.
Got the ball right around the 50, you know, four times, and we've got to score points. There's no question about that. And then special teams, you know, our special teams obviously had the one big play, but we got to be totally, we got to be perfect on special teams when we were not. So with that, you know, we lose some opportunities, but, you know, we come away, you know, 4-4 and looking towards Wisconsin. Wisconsin brings the next challenge up in Madison. I think we've had some great games up there, obviously. You know, got a lot of respect for what they've done up there and the consistency which they've performed under and the winning that they've done and really the championships that they've won. So we have a lot of respect for them. Monty Ball is an outstanding player, a jump cut guy. He's 13th in the nation right now in rushing. They also have a couple other guys. James White is playing extremely well. And Melvin Gordon is also another young man that is a young player, but also is another guy that they're using up there a little bit as well. Defensively, you know, they're top 20, 25 defense, depending on which stats you look at. And Chris Borland and Mike Taylor sort of head that group up. You know, it's going to be a challenge for us as we move up there, but we're looking forward to it, and I'll take questions.
And that was Mark D'Antonio talking about Wisconsin and the challenge he faces up there. Well, he had to say a little bit more about the Wisconsin runners.
Well, I think they're both outstanding runners, you know, and I would say Melvin Gordon is of that type too. You know, James is a smaller back, very explosive. They use him certain ways. Monte Ball, great jump cutter, physical, vertical runner. And, you know, I don't know how many touchdowns. I've lost track how many touchdowns he's got, over 60 in his career. So outstanding football team, outstanding players. And as I said at the beginning of this thing, you know, got a lot of respect for how they've gone about and done business in terms of, you know, get it done on the ground. They play action. Aberderis, an outstanding receiver. Quarterback's doing a nice job, not turning the ball over very much. Big physical offensive line, sort of retooled. Tight ends, you know, play well defensively.
And yes, and Mark D'Antonio also went on to defend his offensive coordinator, Dan Roschar, and he talked about play calling.
I think it's very difficult to interrupt people. They're in their train of thought. They got 25 seconds to make a call. Really, 15 seconds to make a call. It's a 40-second clock, 25 seconds to make a call. And he starts to say something, and I say, whoa, don't call that. You know, you can't do that unless I'm going to call the plays, which I'm not going to. Our offensive coordinator calls the plays. Our defensive coordinator calls the defense. That's why we have guys who have been here, because I empower our coaches to do the job. So it's very, very difficult. What I will do is say, between the series, we come back with this. Hey, Roche, don't do this. On a timeout, no, I want to see this. You know, those type of things. No, want to run it here. No, don't do this. Call timeout. Whatever. I will call the timeouts. I'm the guy that's going to call the timeouts. So, you know, my hand, you know, I'll always know what play we're going to be, I'll always know what play is being called and always have a thought process as to go with that play, but I'm not going to be interruptive. I'm not going to do that to somebody because I think that's extremely frustrating for that to happen. You know, or why did you call that? We got enough people to do that. We don't need more.
Oh, that's for sure. You have 75,000 people in the stadium that are doing that. You know, why not run something else? Even though we don't know if something else is going to work, but we always want everybody thinks that the next play or the other play would be better. And, of course, when it doesn't work, then we say, well, that one didn't work. Wonder why. So, anyway, let's move on. And Coach D'Antonio was asked, should Andrew Maxwell, the quarterback, take more chances at running the football?
Oh, I want him to make plays. I want him to make plays, but vision is experience, especially at the quarterback position. Vision is experience. Having vision of an entire football field as opposed to having tunnel vision is an experience thing, I think, with quarterback. Now, I haven't played quarterback since the eighth grade, okay? But that's what I would say in looking and being a coach, that, you know, you have to be able to see the whole field and know the dynamics of what's going on and feel it. And, you know, there are a couple opportunities he had to run the football. He needed to take those opportunities. But as I said earlier, there's a lot going on out there. And, you know, you're trying very, very hard not to make a mistake. And sometimes you just got to let it go. And, but, you know, at that position, you know, the main thing you want to do is, hey, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to be the one that jeopardizes our football team. And the nature of that position, the more experienced you get, the more you've been in the ring, the more you go to the fair, as I call it, the more you go to the fair, the more at ease you are winning the prize.
And, yes, one thing Coach D'Antonio talked about was how the team has to play tougher.
Well, we win the next one. You know, we focus on the challenge at hand. We look forward. We don't look back. And we continue to try and learn from our mistakes. And we go to Wisconsin to win. That's the only way I know how to take on challenges. You have to take on challenges straight on. You can't look to the right or the left. You have to look right. What's in front of you? Wisconsin's in front of you. Deal with that. Go play there. Deal with that challenge. And after that, look to the next challenge. And that's what we have to do. We can't look, oh, wonder how we're going to play against Minnesota. We can't worry about that. We have to worry about what's right on our agenda. That's the only way that you can deal with your problems. So, or your challenges, whatever you want to call them. So, and that's what we'll do. I think our football team will be ready to play. I think our football team, if you really want to know the truth, is pretty resilient, like all young people. And our football team understands that they're one play away from winning these football games. One play. 18 seconds this past week, a tip this the week before, whatever it is. So you can find those plays if you look hard, and that's what's so frustrating about all this, because you don't even have to look hard. You can find the plays. There's no question about that. You can find the situations, and that's what's so frustrating about it. But, you know, with that being said, that also brings you a great deal of confidence. If you're losing 45 to nothing, if you're losing 28-3, you know, there's a whole different mindset there. So we're still a football team that has to be handled, has to be reckoned with. I think defensively we've given up, what, 9 touchdowns the entire year, which I think is tied for third in the country. We've got a top 20 defense, top 10 defense actually, lead the Big Ten in 3 or 4 defensive categories. We're not getting the turnovers. We're not getting the sacks that we had last year for whatever reason. But when they come, they'll come in bunches. And you remember the games last year, we had 4 turnovers that we would get, and it's 6 or 7 sacks. And when they come, they'll come. And things sometimes go in cycles. But the main thing that we have to do is continue to be positive and continue to move forward and not flinch. We can't flinch.
That's Coach D'Antonio. Now, we have one other cut for you, and he says one thing that Michigan State needs to do offensively, which they aren't doing that much this year as they have in the past, is have more explosive plays.
Explosive plays that move the ball. Explosive plays. We had explosive players making plays. Keyshawn Martin, B.J. Cunningham, again, guys with extreme experience. If you go back and take the time to watch that championship game last year, you talk to me about Kirk Cousins. He was phenomenal. Phenomenal, as was Keyshawn Martin and BJ, as was Edwin Baker, as was Le'Veon Bell. So it's about players making plays. The offense really has not changed. Play calling, you know, you're trying to help guys make plays. But, you know, my impression of the whole thing right now is he's tucked right under here under my wing. So if they want to criticize, you know, they can criticize me a little bit because I'm in charge.
And that's, of course, is head coach Mark D'Antonio. The time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Sarah Elizabeth Richards hoped to have children one day, and as she got older, she made the controversial choice to freeze her eggs. The American Society for Reproductive Medicine said this week, freezing embryos should no longer be considered experimental. I'm Neil Conan, the changing science of fertility. Plus, we'll talk with an NFL replacement ref. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It'll turn partly sunny and the high will be 75 today, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s tonight. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 78. And then Friday, a lot cooler, the high just 52. Mostly cloudy and a good chance of rain Friday. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. And we just have one more cut to play for you, and that's with Mark, Coach D'Antonio, and he talked about how Maxwell has grown as a quarterback.
To execute, make decisions in key situations in the game at this stage of his career.
Well, I think that that Andrew's growing as a player. I think that there's going to be times when he plays very well, and there's going to be times where, you know, you make a mistake. The average person maybe doesn't understand the mistake. Is it made by the receiver running the route? Is it made by protection? Is it made by the quarterback? And then there's the execution of the throw. And I think that we all also have to understand that playing quarterback is just not about throwing a football. It's about leading a football team, getting in the right plays, remaining confident in the huddle, you know, being encouraging to other players, getting you in and out of different plays, and then execution as well. It's also about taking a bad play and making it a good one. And, you know, sometimes you have to grow in those areas. And the one thing, and I've said it before, the one thing that is very difficult to practice in the spring and in the summer, unless you're going to take and just go live out there, which you really can't do with your quarterback too often, you know, you can't provide that live action and that different defense and those different blitzes on a week-to-week thing, week-to-week schedule, I guess, or, you know, from week to week. You can't provide that. You have to get that during the games, and you have to get that during the season. And, you know, Wisconsin's defense is different than Michigan's. Michigan's was different than Notre Dame's. Ohio State's is different than Iowa's, et cetera. And it just all runs like that. So every week you're preparing for different things from different people, different coverages, different pressures, different fronts. And so all those things – accumulate for an individual, and they just sort of continues to roll up. So there's a lot to think about and a lot to do. You add on to that the pressures that are on our young people, that are on college people, that are on a 20-year-old young man with bloggers and Twitters and all the other stuff, and the quarterback who's going to get the most criticism and get the most praise, and you've got a lot of things a young man's dealing with at once. So from that perspective, with all those things involved, I think he's played very, very well. You know, we had sacked once, drove down the field once. We'd like to do it more. Hey, Michigan's got a good defense too. So, you know, we were talking about inches. We try some deep shots. You know, we're inches away from hitting on them.
Yes, and that's Coach D'Antonio talking about how Andrew Maxwell, he's got to improve and get better and sort of take more chances. And that's the thing. He's got to take more chances, and he's doing everything he can right now to play well. But, you know, it's a learning process. You know, you're constantly learning out there on the football field. No one comes in experts and ready to play, you know, right away. It's a process. You all have to go through it. That's part of learning the game and part of learning about the sport. And you know, you can't the only way you can learn it is by playing. You can practice all you want, but until you're out there and you face it in the game, you know, you have a tough time. Well, right now the time is 44 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Let's go to the phones. We've got Bill on the line. Bill, how you doing?
Hi Earl, this is Bill. I just wanted to let you know that the Tigers are in the World Series tonight. I don't know if anybody in the listening area knows that, but they are playing tonight in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. We'll be talking about that coming up shortly. We got Yep. Okay. Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Earl.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, we got a special guest coming up, and hopefully we can get him on. Now we're going to talk about the World Series with the head coach of Michigan State baseball, Jake Boss Jr., and we'll talk with him about how the Tigers will approach the World Series. So that's coming up shortly, and we'll talk with him about that. You know, baseball, of course, you know, in the year, a lot of people were wondering, would the Tigers make it this far? There were a lot of question marks. A few people stuck by them, but I know a lot of you just jumped off the bandwagon. But the thing is, the Tigers are in the World Series. They made it there. And so let's bring in our guest, Jake Boss Jr., head coach at Michigan State. Jake, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Hey, okay. Yeah, you know, a lot of people jumped off that Tigers bandwagon during the year because they were playing so inconsistently. How do you feel? How did the Tigers put it all together down the stretch here where they could get the independent and then playing well in the playoffs?
Well, I think they're just, you know, they're probably more talented than most teams in the in Major League Baseball, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, I think, you know, right or wrong, I think a lot of people maybe were frustrated because of the talent that they had. But in a 162-game season, you know, you're going to go through all kinds of ups and downs. And, you know, I think they, you know, maybe could have performed better in the regular season. You know, with 88 wins, it's probably a little bit disappointing. But at the end of the day, they did what they needed to do to win their division. And now they're, you know, kind of flexing their muscles a little bit so far in the playoffs. And so that's kind of what, you know, people expected. And you know, I would look forward to good things here in the World Series. I think they're the most talented team, you know, in Major League Baseball, like I said.
Yes, that's one thing is, you know, the Tigers have been known all year long for the strength, which is the starting pitching. The starting pitching has been great for them all year long. So if that indeed is the strongest part of their game, what else do they have to do? We know the bullpen has been sporadic. You can't shore it up now. You just have to go with what you got, don't you?
Well, you kind of do, you know. I mean, it's the bullpen has been, you know, a little shaky, you know, admittedly by the Tigers. And so with that being said, you know, you need somebody to step up. Mm-hmm. And in the American League Championship Series, it was a guy like Phil Koch, you know, and just did a great job for him when they needed him. And you know, who knows who it's going to be in the World Series. I mean, it could be Valverde, it could be Koch, it could be any number of guys. But, you know, you need somebody to get hot. You need somebody to step up and get the job done. And I don't know that they really care who it is, just as long as it happens. And so, you know, realizing that, you know, a guy like Valverde has been very, very good for, you know, for the last 2 years, really, in Detroit. And maybe he struggled a little bit recently. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see him get another chance and see what happens.
Yes, that's what I think, too. I think we'll see them out there. Probably when they have at least a two-run lead or more, we might see them out there in the ninth inning. That's for sure. Now, what about with the Tigers? They've hit well for most of the year. Sometimes they've been a little bit inconsistent, but the hitting's been pretty good. Now, on San Francisco's part, they're going to be throwing at least five left-handed batters in this first game up tonight against them. How did the Tigers, I mean, I know they've got Verlander in there, but how do they handle so many left-handers, or will they have to probably go to Koch or Smiley or someone like that to match them? I mean, we know how baseball is a game of matchups, and people always want to match up the right side when they can. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle all those lefties in the San Francisco lineup.
Well, it will be, you know, and it's when you got a guy like Justin Verlander on the mound, he's a good matchup against anybody. So, you know, I think, you know, I don't know, you know, at what point we'll see the bullpen tonight. If Verlander's thrown well, I don't know that you'd see him at all, you know. But at the same time, yeah, it could pose some issues for him. Phil Koch is pretty good against left-handers. Smiley's going to have a pretty good chance to get left-handers out. And, you know, the thing about Koch is, you know, he kind of struggles against the right-handed, you know, hitter. And so, you know, how does that shake out if you really, you know, get down to it in a close saves type of situation with him on the mound and, you know, a guy like maybe Buster Posey at the plate. And so that certainly could provide some matchup difficulties too. I think, I think it's going to be a good series. But, I just think the Tigers are too talented. They're too deep. Even with some of the bullpen issues, you know, if they can get – you know, 6, 7, 8 innings out of their starters, you know, then you certainly have to like their chances.
Yes, now, I know you've had a chance to read a lot of scouting reports. I imagine that this is probably the most detailed scouting report getting ready for the World Series, the last series of the year in baseball. How do you analyze it? What do you make out? What would you expect to see if you had to look over a scouting report of the other team in for this series?
Well, you know, teams at that level have so much information, you know, and I think a lot of times you can really kind of overanalyze a lot of different things. And, you know, while a lot of that is important, I think it's important that you execute what you execute best, especially at this time of the year, and really try to, you know, almost simplify things a little bit. And, you know, more often than not, hitters are going to get themselves out, you know. And so from a pitching standpoint and a defensive standpoint, I think, you know, you continue to do what you do and make good pitches and you know, see what happens. You know, I think Matt Cain, you know, got away with a few last night, and he made a couple pitches, or Monday night, and made a couple pitches that weren't very good and kind of got away with it. So, you know, that stuff is going to happen. But, you know, from an offensive standpoint, then I think, you know, the pitching is so good that you really need to, you know, stay focused on your game plan. And that could be different for each guy, you know, whether it's going to be early in the count or late in the count or sitting on a certain pitch or, you know, whatnot. But I think it's important that, you know, at this time of the year especially, guys kind of stick to what they've been doing and what's gotten them to the World Series to this point, because obviously it's worked.
Yes. Now, Jake, you know, we almost see it almost every year in every World Series. Somebody becomes a hero that hardly played at all during the season, maybe just a few at-bats, and they come up in a key situation and get a clutch hit. That happens a lot in the World Series, and a lot of times we don't see that player back again the next year. What happens? Is it just that they have so little reports on these guys that are 24th and 25th that were picked up at the end of the year? What happens with that? Because, you know, we've seen it so often how a guy who hardly ever played becomes a hero in the World Series.
Well, I think what people have to realize is, you know, even though a guy might be the 25th guy in the roster, he's still in the major leagues. And he's in the major leagues for a reason. And those are the best players in the world. And, you know, where a guy may be 25th guy on the roster, you know, he still has a chance to do some pretty good things. And so, you know, it's not like these guys are bench warmers and at every level or walk-on type guys or whatever. I mean, these guys can really play. And so with that being said, I mean, there's talent on both rosters. And really it comes down to whoever gets an opportunity and who's prepared mentally for that opportunity. And I think that at this time of the year, major part of it is the mental side of it. And so who's going to be able to handle themselves in a big situation and who's not?
Jake, I know ever since, you know, so many of us who love baseball, were baseball playing as a little kid, we all grew up dreaming to play in the World Series one day. That was our dream. But, you know, even though we're not, and we never got that far yet, you know, we want to see these players in play. How do you magnify or go about the conditioning of the players? Because this is such a long, grueling season, and yet now they got to perform like it's the first day of the year.
Well, you know, Earl, I think at this point in the year, if you're tired, then you probably shouldn't be playing, especially if you have a chance to play for a world championship. I mean, this is what, you know, guys work their entire lives for, and this is what they've prepared since they've probably, you know, been 6 years old, you know, for a moment like this. And so I don't think energy, I don't think, fatigue or anything like that is really going to be a factor. I mean, the Tigers have had a few days off, and a lot of times in our game that can make you, you know, a little less sharp, but at this point in the year, I don't think fatigue is going to be a factor at all. I think it's, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck and you know, coming down to, again, whoever makes the most plays at the right time.
I know you know about this. What happens to guys when they have two or three days off, like the Tigers are basically sitting around waiting up for the series to start? What happens to their bodies and their timing? Is their timing gets off? What happens with having these extra days off?
Well, it's good to get some rest, you know, at certain times. But, you know, there's a chance that it could impact your timing. And if that happens, then, you know, you got to, you know, it's tough to replicate that game speed. I think it was really wise what Detroit did with bringing back their instructional league team for, you know, for some inter squad and time so that they could see live pitching and they could, you know, try to replicate those game type of situations, because it's certainly something that you cannot do in a practice or, you know, in batting practice. And so I think that was pretty wise of them to do. And, you know, they've gotten, you know, some guys like Valverde, you know, some live at bats or live pitching off the mound to hitters. And you know, I think that stuff is really going to help. And I know back in 2006, they did not do that. And I think it showed, you know, with how they played back then. So, yeah, you would hope that they would come out sharp, and I have every reason to believe that they will.
I know this has to be a little bit of a plus for San Francisco in that pitchers have to hit now. You know, we know eventually, I assume one of these days they'll make the rules all the same for which you, whether you play in the American League Park or the National League Park. But right now, that's probably a big advantage for the Giants because you know, the Tiger pitchers haven't pitched all year. I mean, haven't hit all year, so that should be a big advantage for them, shouldn't it?
Well, I'm sure it's an advantage. I don't know if it's a big advantage or not, but yeah, you know, certainly if those guys are in situations that they're more familiar with and more comfortable with than the pitching that the Tigers have, that they'd have a better chance. But you know, those guys are all professionals, and you know, they'll do whatever it takes to get the job done, especially at this time of the year. You know, and so you know, it could be an advantage. It could be a wash. Though, it just depends on the situation.
Yeah, so it should be a good World Series starting tonight. Detroit at San Francisco. It should be a good one. Hey, Jake.
Hey. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, it's you know, the two hottest teams in baseball right now, and you know, again, there's experience there on both sides of it, so it should be a fun one to watch.
Okay, are you doing anything with your team in the fall?
Well, we just finished up about 6 weeks of fall practice, and now we're in more individual group type of settings with you know, specific position work and things like that. And so we've had a good fall here with our guys. We've had a lot of new faces, a lot of young guys that are. They're getting a lot better, so we're excited about the future.
Okay. Hey, Jake, I want to thank you for talking with me and sharing your thoughts of the World Series. Takes place tonight, starting with Detroit and San Francisco. I know you're pulling for the Tigers. I guess we all are here since the Tigers made it to the World Series. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us, and, you know, I'll be talking to you a little bit later on, buddy.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Earl.
Okay, thank you. And that's Jake Bosch Jr., head coach of Michigan State. And, you know, it's always nice to hear from Jake. And we got a few little tidbits on the World Series. And, Aaron, what do you think about, I mean, that's the thing I don't trust with San Francisco, because, you know, the Tigers' pitchers are going to have to hit. That could be ugly.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. I don't know what the numbers are on the Giants pitchers, but, I mean, they got more experience doing that. You know, that just means that the other guys on Detroit's side, frankly, are just going to have to step up a little bit more and have more timely hits. I mean, I don't think you can count on the pitchers to do anything. I mean, bunting, maybe, you know, I think I've seen that more than actual hits.
Yeah.
It depends on what their situation is. You know, I think most pitchers, who are required to hit can probably bunt if required to.
And at least they want to hit. That's
right. Yeah. And, you know, this is the World Series. They're not – they don't want to get to the plate. That's not what they want to have to do. So, yeah, it's just the other guys are going to have to step up and get more timely hits.
Yes, they are. And that's going to be a lot of pressure on them, especially for the Tigers. They haven't hit all year, or haven't maybe not hit any time in their life, not even the minors or such. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for them when they step in the batter's box for the first time. Boy, I wonder what's going to happen when the other opposing pitcher maybe brushes them back.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's a World Series, and, you know, baseball is known to get away with throwing at the guy batting and kind of get away with it. So, yeah, we'll have to see if anything like that plays out.
Yes, we will. It should be interesting. It's going to be a challenge. It should be a very good series. I know that's one thing about baseball. You know, sometimes I think baseball players are a little bit soft because they complain so much when somebody throws inside. Instead of just getting back in, dusting themselves up, and start in the batter's box to get ready to hit. You know, that's one of those things. But we'll have to talk about that a little bit later on. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. We'll invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. We want to make sure that you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I will see you tomorrow right here on WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.